of Supervisors will reconvene, and we're up front here for our and child use prevention
Let's have it right here. There you go. The front would be perfect.
You want to come in
here?
One of the things, board members, that there will be another thing for all five of us to sign, hopefully today, or it will be over at the CAO. It might be here, though. Yeah, thank you.
Oh, it's possible?
That's the, Sons of Italy. Yeah, 100 years.
I found a mistake, but it's really too late.
Yeah. Somebody's name's on there twice.
You're so important.
All right, because my wife's out of town.
Let's go on to 7A, General Services Airports. Good morning.
I'm very loud, so I don't have that microphone.
You may, because it's for the audience, but go ahead.
Good morning, Board. I'm Joy Hall, Director of General Services. I'm here to before you today to give my weekly update on the airports. Last week we talked about Happy Camp Airport. I did reach out to the United States Forest Service seeking to ask them about the abandonment plan. The acting forest supervisor that I did contact has gone back to Kentucky, so he forwarded my email on, and I have not heard anything back as of yet, so that's my update on Happy Camp so far. Scott Valley Airport, the last update, we were working on a contract with the Forest Service. I have reached out to them again, find out where they're at. No response, but I will keep in contact with you guys again and let you know on that contract. Siskiyou County Airport, we had a Siskiyou County inspection last week. We have not gotten the official word yet, but everything looks good on that inspection. We'll have to do some more crack sealing and slurry sealing out there. We will be setting up the maintenance. We'll be going out there to look at the bathrooms out there so that we can see what to do for them. That'll be in this next week. Right now it kind of looks like fresh coat of paint, new flooring, maybe a sink and a toilet would be good. So that's what we're looking for. On the Weed Airport, we had our construction meeting last Thursday. Our consultant team and our construction team met and we walked the project. Everything looks really good. The construction team is trying to strategically make it so that we can cut a couple weeks off of construction. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but moving, doing different areas at different times will hopefully be able to cut a couple of weeks off of construction. See on there, we're all prepared to start on April 1st, and we also on that day met with the pilots and let them know that if there was anything that we could do for them, they could park their plane or fly into any of our other airports.
I was in attendance at the Weed Airport, the consultant and the contractor tour, which did go very positively. Kimberly and Horn, their representatives were dead on with regard to what needed to be addressed out there, and so it looks very positive.
Yeah.
So thank you. Anyone else? Questions? All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful week.
All right. 7B, County Administration. Ms. Nielsen.
Good morning again. Elizabeth Nielsen, Deputy County Administrator. At the Board's direction, I am presenting this item for Board direction and possible action regarding the attached draft proclamation of a local emergency and requesting the governor proclaim a state of emergency related to impacts resulting from Lower Klamath Dam removal and Klamath River water quality. Attached as part of this agenda item is the draft proclamation, the county's recent water quality memo, results from the county's Environmental Health Department's February 2024 Klamath River water quality samples, and the Environmental Protection Agency's primary and secondary drinking water standards, which the Environmental Health Department's water sample results were compared to in the memo. There is extensive detail included in the water quality memo, and I encourage the public to review or read that memo. But in general, the results of the county's water samples showed levels of heavy metals that were above Klamath River baseline conditions and were above the EPA's drinking water standards in certain constituents at certain locations of the six sample locations. These samples and results did not include any groundwater well sampling. And I would like to remind the board that Environmental Health is planning to sample at the six locations on a quarterly basis. The results of the Environmental Health's testing were the basis for the board's direction to bring this item to the board meeting today. The county's contracted project manager, Chelsea Murphy, has been in contact with the state and the Klamath River Renewal Corporation over the last several months regarding water quality concerns. And of course, water quality was a big discussion and an agenda item at the February 13th board meeting at the Copco Lake Community Center, where state representatives and KRRC were present. Over the last couple of months, Ms. Murphy has also requested that KRRC perform additional water quality sampling, and KRRC has responded that they would only and continue to perform water quality sampling consistent with their permit conditions, which are for the protection of the aquatic environment and not to monitor the effect of the project on human health. Yesterday, I received a phone call and then a follow-up email from KRRC's executive director, Mark Ransom, and I would like to read that email into the record. This is from Monday, March 18, 2024, at 1:42 p.m. Elizabeth, Chelsea, in response to the county's recent memo reporting the results of water quality tests on the Klamath River, the Renewal Corporation believes it could be helpful to undertake additional water quality sampling and testing. The Renewal Corporation proposes to consult with our water quality experts and the county to verify sampling locations, testing methods, and constituents to analyze prior to conducting the work. The KRRC will prepare a brief report of the findings and make the report available to the county and others. Please let me know if you have any questions at this time. Thank you, Mark Ransom, Chief Executive Officer for the Klamath River Renewal Corporation. With that, I am happy to take any questions. I assume there will be some, and then take any direction from the board.
Okay. Is it possible to get a copy of that for the record?
I will forward that to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we come to the board, I'll go to public comment.
Yes.
So anyone that may be online, if you want to raise your hand now, we'll get to you as we go through this. But in-house, I'm sorry.
If you could forward that out to the full board to Mr. Ransom's email.
I will do that.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Ren, Ron out. Good morning.
Good morning. Members of the board, I am Ren Brownell, a Siskiyou County and Klamath River resident, and today I'm here as the Public Information Officer for the Klamath River Renewal Corporation. I'm grateful for this opportunity to appear before you today with respect to your draft resolution proclaiming a state of emergency on the Klamath River. The Klamath River Renewal Corporation acknowledges that the drawdown of the reservoirs on the Lower Klamath Project earlier this year resulted in significant discharge of reservoir sediment. We agree that the sediment included naturally occurring metals and other constituents present in the landscape of the Klamath Basin. We agree that the grab samples collected by the county staff on January 31st showed elevated levels of arsenic, lead, aluminum, and iron at the sampling locations below Iron Gate Dam. The Renewal Corporation is implementing a comprehensive water quality monitoring program. This program is approved by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, as well as the states of California and Oregon, to protect human health as well as the aquatic environment. Your resolution is incorrect in stating that the monitoring excludes constituents that affect human health, and we provided a summary of our program to county staff and consultants. During the license surrender proceeding, regulatory agencies extensively analyzed the impact of sediment releases on human health and aquatic environment. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, along with the state of California, authorized the sediment release in their permitting decisions, and we've provided the EPA's letters on this topic to county staff and consultants as well. The California State Water Board Resources Control Board has created and maintains a list of frequently asked questions, which is available online. The FAQ list includes the Water Board's position regarding the impacts of drawdown on water supply and aquatic resources, including public drinking water supplies, groundwater wells, and aquatic life, including salmon. In short, the Renewal Corporation has mitigated impacts to public water systems, and there are no anticipated water quality impacts on private groundwater wells. As a restoration project, the short-term impacts are outweighed by the long-term benefits to water quality and fish habitat. The sole public drinking water system downstream of the Iron Gate Dam using Klamath River surface water was the Collier Rest Area on I-5, which is owned and operated by Caltrans. The Renewal Corporation has been providing drinking water to the rest area to avoid impacts to human health and rest area's treatment systems, and will continue to do so under the agreement with Caltrans. The Renewal Corporation will continue to implement our comprehensive water quality monitoring program, and we will timely report all results. We will continue to cooperate with our federal and state regulators, and we will continue to fully cooperate with the county staff and consultant to provide information and help evaluate whether to supplement this program. As a first step, in consultation with the county, we will perform additional water quality testing in the Klamath River. We expect that concentrations of downstream of Iron Gate Dam will diminish rapidly over time as the discharge of sediments moves downstream to the Pacific Ocean.
So, while you're right there, Bryn, is it all right? With regard to the additional testing, I think I heard in Ms. Nielsen's part is of the heavy metal part coming into monitoring, and I don't know that that's been addressed. Is that correct?
That is the idea. We would go out and perform some sampling to address that.
On the heavy metals?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And go ahead.
What's the frequency of testing?
I would have to consult with RED, Resource Environmental Solutions, on that.
Okay.
Our contractors.
Because that to me is significant.
Yeah.
You know, testing once is not enough. Testing multiple times is warranted.
Yes.
And so
understood.
I think we need to get to that point. Thank you.
Supervisor Chris?
That was my question.
Okay.
Was quantity, timing, and location of those tests?
And so I'll have Mark follow up with that information as soon as possible.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Mr. Brunel, thanks for coming before us today. The question I had is regards to later well testing. So as the water comes down, it percolates out, the well testing down the future, is that material percolates through the groundwater?
I don't believe that is what we're expecting to test for. I believe what Mark had proposed was testing the Klamath River water, and a challenge with wells is that there is no prior information to compare to see what it looked like previously. And on top of that, like I just stated, the State Water Board doesn't anticipate any impacts to wells.
Okay.
And from the groundwater quality perspective.
I know there's a huge concern people have. So the scarcity of looking at any sort of testing whatsoever or compensation for those that are testing for their own well food.
I don't believe so at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Oberyn?
The red in the water at Collier's Rest Area, is that was impacted as well. You said that?
So, as a part of our permits, before initiating drawdown, because we knew some constituents could be elevated as sediments washed downstream, we looked into any sort of water sources to pull from the Klamath River. We discovered there was two water rights holders, one about 8 miles downstream from Siskiyou County, and it was no longer in use, and the other one was the Collier Rest Area. And so we mitigated that in advance. So we've been sending the water, and so nobody is presently drinking water out of the Klamath River.
So I understand that the water is impacted at the rest area, though, is that correct?
No, because we've been providing alternative supplies. Yes,
water?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, in advance of drawdown.
That's not, okay.
I mean, we started it before drawdown began because it was a part of our permitting to mitigate any sort of drinking water sources that pulled from the, directly from the Klamath River.
So you're supplying water to the rest area?
To the Collier rest area, yes.
Okay. Sure?
I'm positive.
Okay.
I think maybe I misunderstood the question.
Well, no, you didn't, because that's not what I understand.
That we were sending water to the rest area? Yeah, that's what we've been doing.
Okay.
Supervisor
Howell? I would draw attention to the permit itself. On page 65, condition 8 talks about the public drinking water supplies, but it also talks about something called transient non-community water systems. I would assume maybe that's wells that are providing water. But it gives the licensee shall ensure that project implementation does not result in service of water that fails to meet drinking water quality standards. That's a direct quote in your permit. So how can you assume, not you, but how can KRC assume that there's no effect to groundwater wells or groundwater without testing?
It was a determination made by the State Water Board.
Do we have a copy of that, Ms. Nielsen?
I have a link to that information on me. I don't have the permit in front of me, and I'd be happy to share the links to that documentation afterwards.
I'm reading from the permit. Anyway, I'm just saying that trust me doesn't work when it comes to public health. I'm looking for an insurance that what you're assuming is actually approved. And I'm looking for where that responsibility
lies. But it's the State Water Resources Board that what I'm hearing is the one that's made that determination.
Yes, as far as I'm aware, we are in full compliance with all of our permits regarding.
Okay. And is anybody inspecting that you're aware of?
The two that they required us to look into were any sort of surface diversions utilized for.
No, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about is any state agency following up on their permit requirement?
Yes, we're consistently in communication with the State Water Board.
But are they testing?
Are they testing groundwater wells?
I
think that you would have to ask
them. It's a simple question. Are they testing to ensure that their assumption is correct? But there's no effect.
I cannot speak for the State Water Board.
Okay, but you're not aware of that.
No, I'm not aware of any.
That's all I was looking for. I'm not trying to be confident. I'm trying to get to the crux of where the responsibility lies with what the county is having to pick up. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. So the State Water Board didn't foresee any impacts to groundwater in terms of contamination of the river. Because also keep in mind that this is a temporary condition, right? Like somebody brought up previously, the testing that was done on January 31st was at about peak poor quality conditions in terms of river water, right? That was when it was at its most sediment laden. And water quality significantly improved since then. And KRC will follow up on doing testing in the river to confirm that there has been a decrease in contaminants so that we have some data to compare to what was occurring on January 31st.
I hope you're correct.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sure.
Supervisor
Chris.
Yeah, I asked those questions. The trust that verified, of course, the water quality standards. For next Tuesday, we have a special meeting. I would like a discussion over, because I was wondering who's responsible for the groundwater that we discussed. It is a concern a lot of people have, you know, kids, dogs, whatever it may be. Just make sure that the state is following through and what the state guidelines are. I know there's a lot, really a lot of questions a lot from the public, so it answers their questions and have the state, those that are in charge, that are captain of that ship, answer that question.
Thank you. So, yeah, I'll add on to that. If there, and thank you, Rand, we won't keep you on the spot there. But Ms. Nielsen, there should be hopefully a representative from State Water Resources next week at our meeting. So that they, and give them heads up as to what the question is and what information we're going to need back if they can provide that.
We certainly have a water quality update on the agenda for next week, and Ms. Murphy has a meeting with the State Water Board today regarding water quality sampling, so we will make that request.
Okay.
That they be present at the meeting tomorrow.
No.
Or next week about these.
I would expect that this would be on the special agenda. This is a heavy item that needs to be discussed, vetted fully. Starting with the baseline, I'm sorry, one test doesn't do it for me. What's the ultimate goal? What are we, I think it comes up, I think in one of the presentations, agreeing where we're going to, this is a test site, this is a test site, this is a test site. Not willy-nilly. I think we have to have some baseline when it comes to that. Yeah. I do know Rand is speaking to the Water Quality Control Board. I would expect that they would step up their game and test wells, personally. I mean, yeah. That's a concern.
Yeah. Obvious.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of obvious, right?
Well, that would be an ask. But yeah. Have we asked that? Not to my knowledge.
Go ahead, Supervisor Open.
We've had multiple questions from constituents about well testing and who they can send their bills to. I think that needs to be addressed at some point as well. Unintended. How that process is going to work moving forward, and for how long, who's going to be responsible if there is any accountability for that as we move forward through this process.
Yes.
Thank you.
That will be part of the presentation next week.
So with regard to water quality, I agree that whatever sites we're using, it should be consistent with whatever KRC is using, whatever State Water Resources is using. Because ultimately, if we're finding a problem, we want to find the cure so that we can fix it, and not just have lab results that say yes or no to something. But if there is a problem, we need to get to the bottom of it so that it can be corrected.
Yes, correct.
All right, we'll move on to, got one, go ahead. We're still in public comment, but go ahead. Go ahead. All right, Rick Dowdy.
I know he spoke earlier.
I know, but I still hear it. Yeah. Some have two, so he's gone.
Yes, sir.
No, nobody out in the hall? Okay. Andrew Marks, I think it is. Good morning.
Good morning, Board. My name is Andy Marks. I live in Mount Shasta. I've been in the county for 27 years. I've fished the Klamath River for that same period of time. The first time I went and fished the Klamath was downriver with some old timers, and I never saw such poverty. It was alarming to me that in California, a community of indigenous people could live in such squalor. And I came to learn, and I believe that was because the Klamath River itself is sick. And I fished it consistently throughout the years. I spent 5 years guiding the river. I'm super excited about dam removal. It's an awesome opportunity, both from a fishing perspective, a boating perspective. I've been up to the reservoir sites, scoping out new runs. I'm looking forward to a few spots that I've identified where I know I'm going to hook a steelhead. So, the one thing that really got me when I looked at the agenda item was the concern over drinking water. And I don't know about you all, but general rule of thumb is when you're on a river, whether it's the Klamath, the McLeod, the Sacramento, the North Umpqua, the Smith, some of the cleanest rivers in the nation, you're not going to drink the water. Nobody's sticking a straw in the Klamath and taking a sip. So it seems to me the county spent, I think the last tally I did, which was probably 8 years ago, was $1.8 million in lawsuits designed to stop dam removal. And we're past that now. I understand that. Now we're going to spend more resources because there was a couple of tests taken during the highest sediment flow times on the Klamath. If we're going to declare a state of emergency, I think I heard Supervisor Kopsa say, if there's a problem, well, we don't know that there is a problem unless we do enough testing to show to the governor that there's some issue. Otherwise, we know where the governor's going to go with it. The State Water Resources Control Board just extended the sediment period until April 15th, so I'm fairly certain they're confident that there's not an issue. So what I know from fishing the Klamath is I canned a lot of trips with friends because the water was presto antifreeze green. Water you couldn't stand in, see dead steelhead floating by. And I never heard an emergency declaration there. I'm real familiar with the Shasta River, and its fecal coliform counts are off the charts. There's no disaster or emergency declaration there. So I think what we need to do is really look to promote the excitement that the public has around dam removal. If you go around the dam sites, you can see people from out of the area just checking it out. There's new fishermen and new boaters that we need to bring to the county to promote the economic capital of the county. There is no detriment at this point that requires an emergency. Thank you.
Thank you. Volkhauser, is that right?
Pretty good.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair. My name is Chuck Volkhauser. I live in Mount Shasta. I've been a fishing guide on the Klamath River for 20 years, carried two national forest permits on the Klamath River. And I also have a piece of property on Visa Creek, 48 acres, which was greatly affected in the McKinney Fire and the floods and all of that. When we went through those fires and the mudslides that came down, there was a lot of sediment that came into the river, stopped some fishing in that area, killed a lot of fish in that area, and at that point we didn't declare any state of emergency. I feel like there's a lot of information that needs to be gathered before we look into this silt sediment being so detrimental to the Klamath River where we have to go in and ask the governor for help. I feel like some testing needs to be done more of this. And I feel I'm really sorry for the local people that have been affected by this and by all the stuff that's going on with the climate dam removal. I'm sure it's very, very difficult. Has been for me and will continue to be. But we were made very aware that this was going to happen and that it was going to be a tough few years and that things were going to be difficult for a little while in the climate. I don't feel like I've been misinformed. I don't feel like it's been something that we're going to see. Anybody knows the answers to what's going to happen in the next few years. But I just want to say that I feel like there are people that are excited to be fishing on the Klamath when we do get a chance to do it again. I do feel like we're looking at a situation where we did have a chance to make something great, and it's not going to be a short amount of time that it happens over. It's going to be a longer period of time. And I feel like putting our energy into looking at the dams as they've come out, and they're gone, and they're done, and putting our energy into restoration and making it better than it used to be, even if that means 10 years down the road. But I don't think we need to look into asking the governor for help at this point. I think we should have done that in some situations prior to. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Shinoni, did we do a declaration on the McKinney Fire with regard to the sediment? Because this is a few times you've heard that, and that I believe that we did, but
yes.
Clarify, please.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Brian Shinoni, Director of Emergency Services for Siskiyou County. Yes, we did do a state of emergency for the McKinney Fire, but we also did one additionally, which we just terminated, and it turned into a more of a continuing resolution with what's going on with the sediment and debris flows from the McKinney Fire into the river, specifically the climate and tributaries. So I do want to address that. That was a standing proclamation that we did receive support from CalOES, which also allowed a grant to be pushed through for mitigation efforts and throughout all of that area. So Bissett Creek, I say that wrong, I'm sorry. Humbug, McKinney Creek, all of those will that we have a strategic mitigation plan that the Yurok tribe has taken on for that for us in conjunction with myself and the county and public works, so drainage. And additionally, the last flyover, there was about a million plus tons of sediment still waiting to come down. So that is a major concern that we know is something we've addressed early.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Linda Eber.
Good morning. My name is Linda Ebert, and I live on the former shores of Kapka Lake. My concern is mitigating or monitoring air quality. We're coming into an increasingly dry season, and restoration efforts are proceeding. I got a crew out in front of my property finally, and I was grateful for that. We had a flyover along my corridor of a helicopter, apparently hydro-seeding on a quick flyover, but nonetheless, that was encouraging. However, we're still facing a sediment mudscape, and I'm front row center to that, viewing it, and all around the lake. And I'm wondering, as the sediment mudflat dries out, if those toxic sediments and whatever becoming airborne are going to affect our air quality quite a lot. And is there a provision for monitoring that air quality as we dry out even further? Thank you.
Thank you. Pat Miller? Good morning.
Hi, I'm Pat Miller from Hornburg, California. I spent about 30 years on the upper above Copco Lake on a ranch up there. We had a lot of people come and go and things that happened. I'm really very upset about the results of this proclamation, issue, because it is not helping any of us. It is making for, you know, pollution of the air, whatever, you know, maybe later on. But right now, it's a real mess up there. And it will be for quite a while. And I don't know if I'll live long enough to see something flow as a river or anything else coming down. But it's killing our economy, because Copco Lake and Hornbrook, we kind of depend on fishermen and enjoying the and rafters and all of these things that we've had to go through during the years. And yes, we were living up at the ranch. We did have a little problem with rafters coming through the back way, and you know, you could get run over or anything else with them. But you know, that was a minor thing. But now, what do we do if the fires come? What do we do with all this mud and sludge? What do we do with all the animals being killed right now? And what do we do with the fish thing? And in fact, I have heard through my husband, who is deceased, that coho salmon were not originally on the river at all. It was the silver salmon. And so why are we saving something that wasn't originally there to start with? So there are a lot of different things happening, but none of it seems very positive for our communities, for our health sake, or anything else. So I don't agree with what has happened. I think we need more than just a few dollars compensation, because it is bad for not only our economy, but it's bad for each of us as individuals. So I'm not happy with what is going on right now. And sorry to say, I just heard about the meeting last night, so I didn't have anything prepared to say or with the rest of you folks. But I definitely agree with most of the things that have been from our county side, not from the environmental issues, who have not followed through on what they said, like the KRRC, on what they said that they were going to do. All of a sudden, we have all these other problems, and they keep saying that it's going to, it was in the plans, but it's not in the plans. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning,
Chrissy Reynolds, Copco Lake. I think what I really want to say is, for me, it isn't about the dam now anymore. It's about what we have to face moving forward, which is the air quality from the lands that are going to be drying out. I know that their plan is to reseed it. I get that. But the thing is, the wind blows twice a day. I know that these are not unintended consequences, because we've told them these were going to be the consequences, that we were going to be faced with, that people's well waters were going to be affected. It's not like they didn't know. They know. We told them. And for those that keep thinking that we're drinking out of the water, you don't understand. You don't understand the aquifers and how people's well waters immediately went away when they reached the dam on January 23rd. And in regards to the blasting of the dam on the 8th, that day, the replacement water tank for the 11 homes down in Patricia, that water froze. So they didn't have water and they were being blasted. And we're going to be blasted until August. As early as, I think they said, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning. And I understand that these are long-term things that we're looking at. I'm just talking about from here forward. That's people's pets that are going to be impacted by blasts. That's people's homes that's going to be impacted with dust blowing into their windows. That's people's water that, you know, they take a shower now and they're getting rashes from the water that's in the replacement tanks. There are new wells. There are no new wells. They're not digging wells yet. They're just chucking in water. And so in August, when the actual dam is gone, when they've removed it after all the blasting and they haul that off, and the people walk away, who are we arguing with about, can people get their wells fixed? We just want things to be made right for the people that are impacted all up and down the river. And when you say people shouldn't be drinking out of the water, well, what about our wildlife? You know, what about every bit of life that uses that water for their existence? They had no replacement water. Yeah, we knew it was coming. Everybody here knew it was coming, but the animals didn't know it was coming, okay? And they're the ones that are living with the consequences alongside all of us. So I just thank you, Lord. Yes, this is an emergency. People need help financially with well monitoring, with the impacts to air quality. We need help.
Thank you.
Good morning again, Mr. Chairman, Board. My name is William Simpson. I'm a rancher. I live up on the remains of Iron Gate Lake. We keep hearing talk about the short-term problem we have for these long-term benefits, but there is zero science. There is zero provable evidence, nothing, not a zip, that shows anything's going to come of this. It's all hypothetical that we're going to see an improved salmon run. And as you heard from this guy behind me who's been on the river 50 years, the river had a really great run, okay? And I know that too because I fished the river, but I'm not a guide. We keep hearing the short-term problem is going to be the short-term, the long-term benefits are going to outweigh. That's just not true. That's not provable. They have not an iota of science that supports that. In fact, the science that we have and the empirical evidence is Condit Dam. What happened up there? They got rid of the dam. Now the community is inundated with dust storms. Their houses are covered with dust. And they do not have the kind of dust we have up there. Okay? I've read the CDM Smith reports. And you guys should read it if you haven't. They talk about bioaccumulative toxins, DDT, analytes of DDT, heavy metals, chromium, lead, arsenic. It's all in there. And yeah, it should maybe some of it's just under, some of it's over the limits in the sediments. Okay? But it's bioaccumulative. It means you take a little bit over a long period of time, you get sick or to get dead. And what are the long-term benefits? A cancer cluster along the Klamath River in 5-10 years? Is that some of our long-term benefits? So we look at Condit Dam. Okay, these things are dangerous chemicals we're talking about. There's dioxin that they found in the sediments. And by the way, their sampling, they did it so that they would have the least results. They only went down 2 to 10 feet in places with their core samples. The heavy metals go deep. Some of those mud flats up there are 50 feet deep. The heavy things are down low. That's specific gravity. That's science. We also know that we're looking at water problems. It will continue. Why? Because we just saw what 5 million cubic yards did to the river. Killed it all the way to the coast, including coastline. Crustaceans are dead. Crabs are coming up dead in crab pots. We have 3 times that amount of sediment sitting there, ready to come down. And if any of you drive up there, I can show you a million places where it rained the other day, and there's grooves being cut through that sediment by the rain, cutting into those toxins, and it's going right into the river. That's why all those baby salmon died. They were dead. By the time they went from Fall Creek to Iron Gate Dam, they were dead. There was no bubble disease. That's a lot of baloney. That tunnel, it goes straight through. There's no compression of gases on the uphill side, no decompression on the downhill side. That was just a convenient excuse. They don't want to talk about sediments or toxins. We have an emergency. The governor needs to know it. He needs to bring attention to this county. And we need services from the state. We need help. And we need it now. Thank you.
Thank you. Leach. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is James Leach.
Bring that a little closer to you.
These are from him. I live on Klamath River. I believe you all have a copy of my sludge report. I find it hard to believe that nobody has done a sludge report. All they do is bitch and moan about it. So I did it on my own, on my property. And I did blow the Collie Rest Area. The problem with this sludge report is it was a tacky, ugly, messy stuff, and they reported it as kilograms and megagrams, which is a soils report. So in order to interpolate and put this in terms that the board can understand, which is, seems to be water quality, drinking water standards, what we're quoting the river at, I converted the sludge. I actually have dried sludge on my property that I weighed. The amount that would be in 1 liter of water and converted from megagrams per kilogram, I've converted to megagrams per liter. For drinking water standards, mercury was the only one that was below standard. Barium was 4 times the standard of drinking water. Cadmium was 4 times. And chromium is 24 times the standard for drinking water. This black sludge that came down in the river on January 28th was a result of them blowing the bottom out of Calco Dam, which released these heavy sediments into the river. The water was black as coal those days. This is where this sediment is resting on the edges of the river and on the bottom of the river. It's 25 feet from our well, and our well is 25 feet deep. And so far we've been lucky testing our water that's been filtered through a carbon filter. We don't have it yet. It's only a matter of time after the spring runoff and the river comes up another 5 or 6 feet, or the first flood's going to push those toxins into our water table. I'm asking the board to please add this report to the stuff you're sending to the state to declare the river a state of emergency. The sludge is 6 to 8 foot deep in places, and it's just going to keep eroding and pushing down the river. That I've sent in reports to Cal OSHA. What you don't understand is the Karooks and Yuroks are out there planting in the sludge. They don't know what the toxin levels are. When they sprayed Vietnam with Agent Orange, they told us we would be fine. It took 30 years before the cancer started showing up. It took 36 years before my cancer showed up from Agent Orange. Are you going to wait 30 and 40 years before all the people on the river are affected and their children start coming up with cancers? And this sludge is drying out, and who knows how much we're going to be breathing. Thank you very much.
Good morning. And then we're going to go to online, Anna, after this. Thank you. Good morning, sir. Good
morning, Chair, Supervisors. Thanks for the opportunity to speak, and I appreciate the approach that you're taking. Dam removal is happening, and the focus should be on what we can do. And it's a time of change for the...
We need your name for the record.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Curtis Knight. I'm a California Trout, resident of Cisco County.
Thank you.
It's certainly a time of change, and I think we're seeing this adjustment that's taking place. It's similar to when the dams went in. The river's adjusting, communities are adjusting. It's going to take time, and it's nice that it's adjusting back to a natural, more natural state. I think we all, have seen this project and the scale of it. It's the biggest dam removal and river restoration project in the history of the United States. And that has come with a ton of scrutiny. This thing has been through three environmental impact statements, essentially, over the 24-year period of trying to get this done. The scrutiny has been there. It's been studied to death, and that's where you've heard a lot of this has been predicted. So we predicted this high sediment load, reduced dissolved oxygen levels, and fish kills that happened below Iron Gate Dam. In January, February, when the sediment was released. That was predicted to happen, and it's nice to see that it's gradually getting better downstream. Water quality is improving. I think it's also important to understand the 5 million cubic yards of sediment and how much that is. It's hard to wrap your head around that, but that's essentially what the river would move during a season. So yeah, it's happening all at once, but it's not an amount that the river can't work on and move downstream. Rivers have this ability to do it, and we've seen it with other dam removals that are happening in the state or in the country. Also want to just touch on patience. And I have a lot of respect and hear the people that are more directly impacted than me about this, that live in this area. And again, I think that's the right approach for the county to take, is to hear that and see what we can do about it. Because it's a big deal, and it impacts people in a lot of different ways. I know we're going to expect higher sediments probably throughout the course of this year. We've talked about the restoration, the seeds that are being planted. 17 billion seeds are being planted in the reservoir bottoms right now, and hopefully that's going to turn into a restored reservoir bottoms and take care of some of the air quality issues. We're going to see salmon spawning in a section of the river that they haven't been in 100 years. And that's a pretty remarkable thing that a lot of people, as they brought up earlier, get excited about. The dams are being removed because the company didn't want them, economics, because the electricity bill would have been higher if they were in. They blocked access to over 400 miles of habitat for salmon and steelhead. The reservoirs turned into toxic slew each summer. They were primarily contributed to poor water quality downstream that killed over 90% of the juveniles downstream. They impacted people, communities that have lived along the river for thousands of years, whose culture and food source have been severely compromised. So instead of a state of emergency, let's look at a state of opportunity. This is more than a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for our county, for the health of our river, for the health of our communities, and the health of our economy. Let's take advantage of this opportunity we've been given. Thank you.
Battery 100%.
Online. Anna, and if there's anyone else in-house that wants to speak, blue cards are over there.
Amber, it is your turn to speak.
Hi there. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I just wanted to echo the previous speaker. You know, this...
Ma'am, we need the name.
Yeah. A huge benefit.
Can we get your name, please?
My name is Amber Jamison with Environmental Protection Information Center.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to echo the previous speaker and you know, there will be some significant increases in fish populations going up in the upper basin really soon here, and I think that that's really exciting. KRC is complying with every agency permit requirement and all of the water quality monitoring and mitigation measures that are being implemented. Thank you, Rin, for clarifying that there are no drinking water sources that come directly from the Klamath River. So I can't see how the water quality impairment argument, which is the primary focus of this declaration, is impacting residents in Siskiyou County in a manner that constitutes as a state of emergency. For decades, the Klamath River has been filled with toxic algae that's prevented people from even having contact with the river. Fisheries have been decimated, and now we're so close to remedying this situation. As the previous speaker said, the upper basin used to be filled with silver salmon, spring chinook, and now they're all gone. Once the river has an opportunity to recover from decades of dam impacts, we can expect huge increases in salmon in the upper basin, which is going to be a huge boon for the economy. And to put this into perspective, the irrigation impacts to Scott and Shasta rivers has been impaired so badly that they're filled with warm and toxic irrigation effluent every year, and the rivers dry up every summer. And so it seems that there are more pressing issues in Siskiyou County that are suited for a state of emergency. The hatchery is still raising 3.27 million healthy Chinook salmon, more now than the state's annual goal of 3.25 million that are supposed to be released into the river. From now on, officials plan to bypass the dam and truck the remaining fish downriver, so that they won't have to go through those impacts. So I ask the board to deny this request for emergency declaration, since all the water permit requirements are being met. Nobody's drinking the water from the Klamath River, and KRC is working with the county and has already successfully remedied all the impacts to drinking water sources by bypassing and providing clean, safe drinking water to the one place, the rest stop, that didn't have drinking water. So thank you for this time, and I hope you guys make a decision to deny this request.
Thank you.